you're at a disadvantage, Rodney, that obviously you can't see the screen, so we'll just have to work
on that.
Anyway, we'll work our way through. All right, are we ready? Let us know when you're recording and we'll be away. We are recording, okay. Thank you, councillors. Welcome to the meeting of the 21st of April for Meander Valley Council. I'd like to declare the meeting open. The agenda is in front of us, as you can see. Working through the pages of the agenda, we're all present. There are no apologies. In attendance, the staff as well as all councillors. Moving forward, I'd like a confirmation of the minutes. Would somebody like to move the minutes of the ordinary meeting on Tuesday, 10th March, be received and confirmed? And we'll wait for, can you get me back up on the screen so I can see everyone
Where's my
coach
on?
Stop sharing.
There is it? Oh, up here.
Hold on. Okay, somebody like to move that? Councillor Kelly, somebody like to second that? Seconder for the confirmation of the minutes, Councillor King, thank you. All those in favour? Yes, everyone said aye. Rodney, I gather that's...
Yes.
Thank you. Against, it's carried. Thank you. And there's also the minutes of the special meeting of Council held Tuesday the 7th of April. Would somebody like to move that they be received and confirmed? Councillor King, thank you. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. All those in favour? Against?
I'm against.
Councillor Sintrud's against. All others are in favour, thank you. Council workshops held since last meeting. Are there announcements by the Mayor? Well, not a lot because we haven't been out and about doing a lot. So, plus I probably forgot to fill it in, but that's fine. Announcements by councillors. Neil? Declarations of interest? Neil, I'll take that. Page 8, tabling of actions on petitions. General Manager?
Yes, we have one petition dealing with a request for playground and equipment suitable for younger children, a basketball hoop and a backboard for younger and older youth, and barbecue and seating suitable for family groups to be located either in the area of the skate park or the park off Winifred Jane Crescent, Hatspen. The petition isn't technically compliant in that it doesn't have the name and address of the person who lodged it, and it doesn't provide a count of the number of signatories to the petition. The number of signatories is 248, and we recommend, notwithstanding those technical compliance issues, the council deals with the petition.
Thank you, Chair. Public question time, so we've got questions, public question taken on notice, which are in the agenda, which have been answered. Whether there's any discussion from councillors on those. If not, we'll move on. Same with public questions with notice. There were numerous questions there, which were answered. Public questions without notice are nil due to the COVID-19 provisions, sorry, apart from one late one that's come in, which needs
we'll
to be
We'll hear it very well anyway.
John, that's a pay to pay. Haven't you paid the account, John?
Okay.
Stop.
So we're just...
What's wrong?
Okay, we're all back.
You're coming and going, Wayne.
Are we?
Yeah,
we're actually sitting quite still, but anyway.
Yep.
So did you miss anything? Just so
nice to know.
Public questions without notice.
I don't know.
Which were nil due
to COVID. I don't know.
We have a late one coming in, which the GM will talk about.
So I've emailed the councillors a response from Aaron Della Tor, who is from the Australian Services Union, and he's asked three questions. And I referred to a letter which was sent to the Premier Peter Gutwin and local government minister Mark Shelton to all Tasmanian council mayors and general managers, dated 16th of April 2020, in this letter the Premier states, it is our expectation that Council should endeavour to retain as many employees as possible during the challenging period, and that to do these councils will need to adopt different budget and financial positioning strategies that have traditionally been required. Where appropriate, councils should also redirect staff to support their COVID-19 response measures and community relief and recovery initiatives, end quote. Can the General Manager provide assurances to Meander Valley Council employees that no employees will have their employment terminated as a result of COVID-19 and that Council will prioritise the maintenance of employment of each of their employees in any budgetary decisions moving forward? Question 2. Clause 13 of Council's Enterprise Agreement. The Meander Valley Council Enterprise Agreement 2016 and the Fair Work Act 2019 provide requirements for consultation in relation to major workplace changes, including the need to relocate employees, the alternation of hours of work or regular rosters, or in the extreme, the potential termination of employment, amongst others. The Australian Services Union and our members seek to enter into collaborative consultation in relation to any potential changes in the workplace as a result of COVID-19. Can the General Manager assure employees of the Meander Valley Council that the management team will enter into consultation before any major changes are implemented in the workplace? Question 3. Given the local government is not eligible for the federal government's Job Seeker program, the changes which were made to the Fair Work Act 2009 in relation to COVID-19 stands downs, and alternation of an employee's regular hours do not apply to Meander Valley Council. Section 524 of the Act, brackets, employer may stand down employees in certain circumstances, close brackets, requires that an employee only be stood down where they cannot usefully be employed. That is to say that there is no useful work for employees to undertake. Can the General Manager provide a guarantee that all possible alternative duties will be explored before considering standing employees down, including things that are usually outside of council's core business, which assist the community with getting through and recovering from COVID-19. The union can provide further details and suggestions around this matter. And they've sort of added that if your next council meeting is more than 2 weeks in the future, could you please obtain a written response to these questions by email within the next week?
So. Thanks, Jim. Okay. Question? Was it? No?
No.
Oh, no, that's just Bruce.
That's okay. Bruce.
I'm in mute, haven't I?
No. You're back
right. Oh, that's sorry.
That's all right.
I'll mute myself.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor. Cameron, okay. Over the page.
Just for the questions.
Questions?
Discuss how you're going to respond to them.
Yes, Jim. How are you going to respond to them? Question without notice gives a answer without thought.
therein lies my problem. I guess my response will be that from a council perspective, the matters that are raised relate to internal staffing matters of the organisation as opposed to the detail that is normally considered by council, and that council would sort of have the General Manager address those out of session directly with the union in consultation with those that are required to be consulted along those lines. But the practical reality is the union have asked for a response within the next week, and unless we do something out of session, we'll roll this over to a response that's formalised at the next council meeting. So I'm happy to respond out of session to the union and formalise that response as a matter of record in the next council meeting.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Council question time. Council questions taken on notice. There was a question from Council Knott, which was responded to by Dino DePauli. That's been answered. There was nil council questions with notice. Council questions without notice.
Oh.
Yes.
Council Sinfield.
Mine goes to the reason why I voted no in relation to the minutes for the special council meeting a couple of weeks ago. And it has a bit of preamble, I'm sorry. I have forwarded a copy to Marilyn a few minutes ago by email, and it is as follows. On the morning of the 8th of April 2020, I have forwarded to the Executive Assistant Council the following statement regarding Governance 1, requesting same be included in the minutes for the special council meeting held late on the afternoon of the day before, i.e. 7th of April. The statement read as follows. Whilst I supported the overall intent of this motion and voted accordingly, I do not believe it was appropriate to include doctors and chemists in the groups excluded from support under Clause 1. Yes, there are other mechanisms for possibly assisting these two groups going forward, but that requires those impacted to proactively seek assistance at a time, now or in the future, when they're focused on providing essential frontline medical support to the community. Robinson Hill Councillor. Said statement was then included in the unconfirmed minutes, and those minutes were subsequently downloaded by me from Council's website via the internet in the PM of the 8th of April 2020. Anyone with internet access in the community could have downloaded that version of the minutes at that time. On the 9th of April, my statement was removed from the minutes by the General Manager, citing that the request to include Sun had been made too late. Given that it has been a long-standing practice to allow councillors to include a statement, should they desire to do so, in accordance with Regulation 38 of Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, and given that my statement was in accord with Regulation 32 of said regulations, in that it was a matter discussed at the meeting, why was this action of removal in respect of my statement taken after its initial inclusion? For the purposes of full disclosure, I composed the words on the evening of the 7th of April and had in fact conveyed the content of my statement over the phone to Councillor Temple that evening, as he had CC'd his statement to be included in said minutes to all councillors and a couple of staff members at that time. I forwarded my statement next morning, having no expectation that the Executive Assistant would finalise said minutes overnight. The essence of the statement would be the same whether it was composed half an hour after the meeting or the next day. Robinson Hill, Councillor.
Yep. General Manager.
Councillor, as I discussed with you, I gave consideration to this matter based on, for want of a better word, what are the conventions. And the conventions are informed by and reflected in the document that gets handed out to councillors at the at each meeting, and that's comment by elected members up to 100 words. And at the bottom of that form, it says this form must be lodged with the Executive Assistant prior to the close of the council meeting. Now, in the case of Councillor Temple, I received from memory that email on the evening, which was around 6 p.m. and therefore noted that in the amended minutes as an item received after the meeting and annotated the minutes accordingly. In your instance, and I'm just going from memory, I received an email around 12 midday the following day, and at that stage entered those into a draft of the minutes, and then was questioned by a number of councillors around the inclusion or otherwise, and that gave rise to me considering what constituted a part of a meeting consistent with the convention that I just described, and to what extent I can extend reasonably the notion of an additional comment being part of the meeting. Now, and I've interpreted that as going beyond just the close of the council meeting to the evening of that, in Councillor Temple's position, understanding that in these changed arrangements under the COVID emergency, that the minutes have to correlate to the recorded record of the meetings that are also posted for public listening. And so the counter question to your position, Councillor, is at what point does a meeting that is officially closed end? And beyond that, at what point does an additional statement be deemed not as part of the meeting, but subsequent to the meeting? And the next day, I think, starts to draw an unreasonable extension of a formal meeting that was closed the day before.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Councillor.
I would ask a follow-up question.
Yes, Councillor.
Given that I myself, and I'm aware of one other councillor who have lodged a similar the next day, why the change? Two, we are operating under different circumstances. I don't have that form in my possession to lodge in any way, shape or form. I can simply do it by an email. So the time variance hasn't changed from the established practice. It would also seem rather curious that someone could write 100 words in a meeting other than at their afternoon tea break whilst participating in a meeting and making decisions about various items on the agenda.
And I guess they're almost rhetorical questions in some respects. But at the end of the day, the convention, as I said, is that it's immediately after the meeting. I've extended that to what I think is reasonable on the day of the meeting, and an email subsequent on the next day, I think, draws too long a bow to be associated with the official record of an official meeting. And if the council want to have a discussion about that, I think what was very clear to me as well is that this council was not clear on that convention and the use of this form. And so perhaps now is an opportunity to give some consideration to that or reflect on it and have some discussion at a future workshop to clarify what the rules are.
I agree. Thank you, General Manager. Thank you, Councillor. Any other Councillor questions without notice? Take that as no.
No.
Yes, yes.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Temple.
Since the... thank you, Mr. Mayor. Since the March meeting, is there any update on the proposed prison development?
Yes, I guess there is, in the sense that you would have seen in the Examiner one headline that said the Mayor didn't get his survey, which was disappointing that the reporter decided to take that and make a story out of it when he was going to come back to me the next day and I'd actually talk to the GM about where we were with the survey. But I guess what came out of that, based on the RAP group's comments in the media about people not getting surveys and other people's comments about not getting surveys, we did send a letter to Minister Archer notifying her of the fact that there seems to be quite a few residents within the Meander Valley that didn't get surveys, and bringing that to her attention. We didn't ask for the survey to be reconvened, but we made her aware that that there were people within the community that weren't getting surveys. So apart from that, Councillor, I'm not aware of any other movements to do with the prison issue.
No. Mr. Mayor, what just to add to the clarification of that letter to the Minister, it also asked the Minister to make sure that through their consultants that they've engaged, their independent consultants conducting the survey, that they've had a reasonable satisfaction in terms of the number of responses. So the premise behind that position is that whilst it's apparent that some people in the municipality may not have gotten the survey, what we don't know is how many did get the survey and how many have responded. Only the state government and their consultants know that, and that's the million-dollar question. So it may be that a number of people haven't got the survey, but the survey still remains valid in terms of results because of the overall response. Our position is for the state government to make sure that the overall position of the survey is representative of the community. in terms of overall numbers, as opposed to looking at the negative in terms of who hasn't received the survey.
Thanks, General Manager. Hopefully that's answered your question, Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other questions from councillors? Okay, Councillor Knott, you've got a question without notice. And I'll read it, Councillor Knott, because I can't see you on the screen. It, is it correct that all transportable shade sheds slash carports need a permit with Meander Valley Council or are not required by any other council in Tasmania? The response has been there by Krista. And I'll read that out for those that obviously can't hear. Yeah. No, it is not. Well, they can hear, sorry. But it is not correct that all transportable shade shed carports require permits from Meander Valley Council while not required by other Tasmanian councils. Planning permits will be required as per the requirements in the Meander Valley Interim Planning Scheme. There is no exemption for transportable buildings within the scheme. Building approvals are required in accordance with the Director's determination. Categories of building and demolition work. This determination is issued by the Director of Building Control under the Building Act 2016 and is consistent throughout the state. The Director of Building Control has also defined that prefabricated structures moved to a site where they are affixed to the ground are building work and not defined as temporary structures. Therefore, they will need the appropriate type of building approval for their placement erection. Thank you. Any other questions without notice, councillors? So that is no. We have no deputations from members of the public. We'll move over to page 14. So for the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, councillors acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. And we go to Planning Authority 1. We have a recommendation sitting there in front of us. Would anybody like to move that recommendation? Sorry, Mick, you just Councillor Deputy Mayor says, come on, I'll ask him, would anybody like to move this recommendation? Councillor Kelly is moving.
They all mute, aren't they, Mr. Trump?
Somebody like to second the motion? I'll second the motion for debate. Councillor Kelly, you are muted at the moment. As the mover of the motion, would you like to?
Everyone's unmuted. What are you doing? Can I unmute them, John?
He's done it himself.
Oh. No, he's away. Yeah, no, he's not. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you are, Councillor Kelly.
I can unmute him.
Look, we've been over these types of developments before, and I think we do have our hands relatively tight, so it's pretty straightforward.
Thank you. And as the seconder of the motion, I would agree with the mover of the motion. There you go. I've opened it out for other debate. Councillors. Can't see you, Councillor Sinfield. I'll go to you first.
Yes, no, I haven't heard any comments that would convince me to support this. Same issue as I've had with lots of others, in that I don't believe it conforms to the requirements of the scheme. I acknowledge that the horse is probably bolted, and in my view, it's to do with the arrangement of the lots in terms of not bordering roads, etc., that I've talked about many times. So at this stage, that's how I view it.
Thanks, Councillor. Before we go any further, we have representation that's come in late, which Lynette is going to read on behalf of Gloria Hartley. So I'll get Lynette to read that out now, please.
Thank you, Councillor. So this reads, thank you for hearing my concerns. I reside directly behind the proposed block, Veterans Row, with a direct view to the block from my kitchen window. I chose to purchase in Westbury in April 2020, moving from Trevellyn, as this is a rural community with low density housing. I understood that there were restrictions to developing generally within 5-acre lots and low likelihood of higher density living. This was reinforced by the dirt road and no connection to mains water, suggesting a rural style of living. The existing lots between Ritchie Street and Veterans Row are already becoming overcrowded, with 4 houses already in this space, including new build between Veterans Field and the proposed lot on Ritchie Street. This has already changed the residential experience with increased noise, ride-on mowers, farm equipment, dirt bikes. The proposed development would also block what is currently a view of paddocks from our kitchen window and significantly decrease our level of privacy further. Myself and immediate neighbours have shared concern that further dividing blocks in this area will change the nature of living from rural to residential. This also has ramifications for lifestyle, noise, moving of stock, yarding of stock between houses. This includes our own plans to keep a horse on the paddock behind our home, which already has one house fronting it. This proposal would have a detrimental effect on the immediate surrounds, views, privacy, noise and way of living. I ask the councillors to please protect Westbury as a low density rural area and maintain our way of life. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Open it back up for councillor discussion. Councillor King.
Thank you, Mayor. This is not the first subdivision that's come before council that's had many representations. I am sympathetic to the points that the representatives have all made, and I'm not convinced that we've got the planning for these lifestyle blocks correct and right. We're seeing a reflection in that with the number of representations that we're getting to these subdivisions, and I won't be supporting the recommendation by the officers. Thank you.
Yes, Councillor King. Other councillors? Councillor Knott? You're not coming through, Councillor Knott?
No.
No, we can't hear you, Councillor.
Plug your headphones in.
No, Councillor. You can hear us, obviously?
No.
No, sorry, Councillor Knott, we can't hear you. I'll just come back to Councillor Knott in a minute. Any other councillors? Any discussion, councillors? No?
Try muting and unmuting again, Frank. No.
No.
Still don't work.
Just check that your headphones are plugged in, Frank.
Correct, he's
set the alarm
off, man.
Sorry, Frank, we cannot hear you.
That's because John's not muted.
John?
I've lost the screen completely.
I agree.
I could make a suggestion that if you tried Maxwell Smart's cone of silence, it might work better.
I don't know whether
the councillor not tried unplugging the jack out of his computer? And see if the computer plugin works.
Unplug your headphones, Frank. No, out of the computer, mate.
Put it back in again.
Yay!
Yes. That's it. You're back, Frank.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, given the continuing lines of subdivisions in recent times, and they're obviously becoming more common, I have a concern, particularly for the change of rural fabric in Westbury. I agree with Councillor King. I think my concerns also are that If the motion is lost, unfortunately, if it's appealed, most likely in the current situation, the horse is bolted and it will be lost again, and it will be a cost to council and the ratepayers. So I'll listen to further debate before I indicate my position.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillor Cameron?
I think this is very similar to the one that we discussed a few meetings back, and I agree with Tanya that maybe the planning side of things isn't right if we are getting so many continual representations against these kind of subdivisions. But I think where we sit at the moment, I've got a little choice but to just to support it as it sits.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors with discussion? I'll take that. Councillor Temple?
I think this evokes the name Neville Chamberlain.
Can you repeat that, please, John? You dropped out there a little bit.
I think it evokes memories of Neville Chamberlain.
Yes.
Okay.
Appeasement.
Okay. All right, any other discussion, councillors, before I put it to the vote?
Sorry, not to have a
Yes, sorry, I'm coming back to you. I have nothing to say as a seconder of the motion. Back to you, the mover of the motion. Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, I think we have had a few of these before us, and they have been fairly tough, but the laws are there for these people to allow to do these subdivisions. Councillor Knott summed it up nicely that if we did vote against it, that we'd more than likely lose the appeal. At a cost to our ratepayers. So I'll be supporting the motion.
Thank you. And on that basis, then I will put the motion now. I'm going to have to go pretty much around the screen to make sure that I record the votes correctly. So ready to vote, everyone. Councillor Bower, for or against? That's four, thank you. Councillor Cameron? That's four, thank you. Councillor Knott?
Against.
Thank you. I'll just move on. Councillor King?
Against.
Thank you. Councillor Temple?
Against.
Thank you. Councillor Sheriff?
Or.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor? Councillor Kelly, you're a four.
Yes, sir.
Councillor Sinfield?
Against.
And that's four all, and I'm actually four. So 5-4. Thank you, councillors. Moving on. Planning Authority 2. Sorry. Now I've got to put this up first. So when we get up there, you're seeing that on your screen. Would somebody like to move the motion as it stands? When you're ready, Marilyn, so I can see the full screen, thank you. Sorry, I'll ask that question again because I couldn't see all of you. Would somebody like to move the motion as it stands? I'll take that as no from anybody. The Councillor Sheriff is moving the motion, thank you. Somebody like to second the motion?
Sorry, Mayor. I've been talking to myself. I would like to move an alternate motion.
Right.
I think this is the one that we discussed earlier, the carport.
Okay.
General Manager was working on some words for an alternate motion.
Yep, yes.
Could they be put in front of us?
Have they been emailed out?
They're Merrill's
got. I've got them, have I? When was I given those ones? This morning?
Just before.
Oh, here, right, yeah.
We'll just send them out, councillors, if you've got access to them. I can read them I'll read them out for the record anyway.
If you can read them out, I'm not going to touch my iPad in case I lose everyone.
Okay. So the alternate motion that we've come up with is that council approves application PA20/0171 in accordance with the documents, with the advertised documents, on the basis that the structure does not create an unreasonable impact on the streetscape and sets aside consideration of minimum setback requirements in this instance only. Point two, the council writes to the applicant and reiterates that structures of this type within the front setback will, in almost all circumstances, require planning permission and may require planning permission in other locations dependent upon the zone requirements. The advice will recommend that the applicant will seek confirmation from council prior to erecting any structures.
Yes, I'm happy with that.
So, an alternative motion by Councillor Kelly. It has to be seconded, but then...
Has to do with the first
one. You've got to do it the first one, yeah?
No,
there's no seconder.
There's no seconder at the moment to what I was prepared. So, we're still on the first motion at the moment. Councillor Sheriff has moved, and I will second that motion as it stands. Councillor Keith?
I'm happy to second the alternate.
Okay, well, we're going to deal with one at a time.
Okay, sorry.
So the alternate motion will become a fallback position. Yes. Question for the general manager.
Yes.
Yep.
So you have to deal with the first.
So just dealing with the first motion. Two councillor sheriff as the mover of the motion. Any discussion, councillor sheriff?
I'm happy with the alternate motion. So where do we go from?
Well, that's fine. We put the motion up as it stands and we vote against it, and the alternative motion is the fallback, which is pretty simple, really.
Yep.
So I'll put the motion as it stands, which is the motion that sits in our agenda at the moment. All those in favour?
Well, I'm in favour of that.
Yeah, well, I'm in favour. See, I seconded it, so there's two. Against? I'll go to you, Rodney.
I'm against.
Okay, that's fine. Every other,
I'm against.
Yeah, everyone else is against.
Oh, now I'm confused. I'm against the recommendation.
So, Councillor...
Is that what I'm voting on?
You know, I'll go clearly for you, Councillor Cameron. We just didn't move the first as it sits. Now we're going for the... it's already been foreshadows as an alternative motion. So, Councillor Kelly has moved. We need somebody to second the alternative motion. Councillor Bower has raised a hand.
Okay.
And now we're open for Councillor Kelly and then Councillor Bower for discussion, and then we vote on this one, Councillor.
Okay, thank
Councillor
you.
Kelly, that's all right.
Look, I think this has got the balance quite nicely, and I do want to thank the General Manager for putting the words together. I think it will send a message.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Bower?
Yes, I agree with the Deputy Mayor there, and I think this is actually very much a common sense approach to a planning issue.
Thanks, Councillor Bower. Discussion, councillors? Councillor Sheriff?
I'm happy to support it.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Sheriff?
Yeah, look, I don't oppose the structure as it sits, but obviously this guy needs to know that he needs to seek council approval for these types of things, and I think by the alternate motion we'll send a clear message that this happens sort of from now on.
Okay, any other comments, councillors? Councillor Knott?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, right. Just a couple of things. First of all, I think in discussion or prior to the meeting, most important that the applicants or owner in this case, are given sufficient facts and information in relation to the application. I think that's most important from a planning aspect in councils. Secondly, I do believe the owners... owners are in fact somewhat unwitting victims in a sense, and I think this is a wise decision in not making of if we went ahead and accepted refusal, it could be pulled down. I think that's a negative step for those particular families. Thank you.
Councillor Temple, can you just mute? Or Councillor Cameron, there's feedback coming through from one of you that's got your mic open. Sorry to do that, but Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Sinfield?
No other comment, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm voting in support of the alternative.
Yep, thank you. For my two bob's worth, I think it's disappointing that people can put up sheds and structures without understanding what can be in the planning scheme. And I guess if statewide shade sheds continue to do that, I do wonder what power we will have going forward to try and stop them doing that. But anyway, the structure is up, and we'll see where it goes to from there. But I will be supporting the motion. So. Okay, Councillor Cameron.
I think that it's a little bit like false advertising on the shed companies when they've sold it to these people. I don't think that they've gone and built it knowing that they've done the wrong thing. And I think that the alternate motion covers it a little bit to try and make sure this doesn't happen for the future without really punishing some people that they might have been a little bit ignorant to what was happening, but I don't know if I could justify making them pull it down.
Thanks, Councillor. Okay, Councillor Bower as seconder. Any other comments? No. Thank you. Councillor Kelly as the mover of the motion. Any comments?
Am I on?
Yes, you are. Yes.
Just to reiterate that it is a common sense approach, and I'm very pleased with where we've got to with this development.
Thanks, Council. And on that basis, I will put the motion as it stands, the alternative motion. All those in favour, you can just put your hands up and I can see Councillor Bower. Okay, everyone on the screen, myself. Councillor Sinfield, you said that you were voting in favour.
Yes.
Thank you. So that's everyone in favour. Thank you. Okay. Thanks, staff. Community Services Development 1, my right. Okay, Community Incentive Grants Application Assessment Round 4. So the recommendation, recommend Council endorses the recommendations of the Community Grants Committee and approves the following allocations. Somebody like to move that? Councillor King. Seconded, Councillor Cameron. Councillor King, any discussion? You're muted, Tanya.
Can I have a look at what we're actually got in front of us? Because the paper version of the agenda that I have is not.
So the alternative is up on the screen.
Is it?
No, the alternative is up on the screen now.
So I can speak to that.
Please,
I can't see it.
Yeah,
she
Okay. Yeah. See it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, just a little bit background to the amendment. There were two grants that for Children First Foundation and the Edmund Rice Camps, which were originally approved by the Grants Committee for funding. However, due to COVID, they haven't been able to operate those events. My understanding is those events are still likely to go ahead, and that on that basis, are now recommending that we proceed with the approval and payment of those grants in this financial year. The alternative was to defer those grant approvals to a subsequent round, and that becomes a little bit messy in terms of the accounting and the process, and given the amounts of money and the nature of the events. I think it's a low risk and prudent approach to approve in advance of those events on the basis that they will go ahead. The second amendment to the variations deals with individual payments. And the original motion assumed that we would not seek recovery of those individual payments of $150 from the eight or so individuals on the ground said it was not cost effective to do so, that would be inconsistent with our approach to community organisations and event operators who have had their events cancelled and the non-recovery of those. We've had since had a representation from one of those respondents indicating a willingness to pay back the monies, and the revised motion reflects the opportunity for council to write to those individuals and seek repayment of those grant monies.
Does that answer it for Councillor King?
It does. But now I'm just looking, I'm just wondering, and off the cuff a bit, could we have the motion back up? Because I thought that the Evan Rice camp was supported to $2,000.
The motion does say $3,000, that's in front of us, correct?
Yeah, from memory, the amount that we funded that was for
$2,000.
Yeah, I think you're right. But
you're correct, Councillor, on page 155, the table indicates $2,000.
So that's now been amended into the motion for Edmund Rice Camps Tasmania $2,000?
Thank you.
Councillor Knott, you had a question, I think.
Just a question, if I could. On the in the individual sponsorships requests, just clarification for Jolly Waterhouse Hansman and the International Children's Games in Hungary.
Yes.
I believe that they've been cancelled.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked it up and they have been.
Okay. I wonder, Frank, if they've already incurred expenses, though.
So. We need to find out, since it's not till July or something.
Well, I guess, through you, Mr. Mayor, I guess, Councillor, there's no harm in us writing to all of the individual recipients of grants and seeking for them to clarify their position and circumstance and asking for a refund to be equitable to all individuals.
Yes.
If I may, I think you do that though on the basis that you somehow ask them have they incurred expenses to at least that amount already in relation to it and take that into account when asking for it back.
And the nature of the expenses, I guess, with airfares and so on, and particularly with Virgin, for instance, it's an interesting situation. But I think they should certainly request and ask the details of any expenses that they've had, whatever.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Knott. Any other comments, councillors?
Yeah, I might come here. I put my two boxes in.
Councillor Kelly.
If they've been cancelled, I don't believe that the money should be distributed.
Yeah.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Lynette, I think the money has been paid.
Is this for the sponsorship?
It's been paid in profile.
To my understanding, yes.
Yeah. So it's actually, it has been handed out to the best of our knowledge, Deputy Mayor.
It should be returned if they've been cancelled.
Yeah.
That's right.
We will ask.
I support that.
We'll attempt to recover.
Okay, any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Cameron?
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that it's good to be on the committee. Tanya and I see some pretty good applications, and we'd like to see them keep coming. And the pool committee, we were really pleased to be able to support the Mock Creek Swimming Association. With repairing their pool, it's a massive job. $3,000 is a little drop in the ocean, lol, of repairing that. So congratulations to them in particular.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, no further discussions, Councillor Sinfield, I'll just check.
Just clarifying though that the Edmund Rice camp figure is $2,000, since I can't
yes. Yes, yes, councillor, that's correct.
Yep, thank you. Yes,
okay.
I'm in.
Okay. Well, then I'll put the motion. I don't think there'll be any other discussion. All those in favour, as it stands with those amendments. Aye.
Aye.
Yep. Thank you. Against is nil. Over to Corporate Services financial reports for 31st. The recommendation is there. Do I have somebody that makes recommendations? Sorry, moves. Sorry, well, I was lost there. Somebody like to move that? Councillor King. Seconder. Any seconders for this one? Councillor Knott. Councillor King, do you want any discussion on this one?
Not a lot of discussion per se, but just to thank Justin for his time and effort in preparing the reports. I'm certainly no expert on finances, but with my limited experience, they look pretty good to me.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Knott, anything to add as a second?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Councillor Bauer? You're not up, Councillor.
I'm here.
I'm very clear of that. I just couldn't get my mouth to work. So just a couple of questions, please, Justin. In regards to the expenses in relation to governments being underspent, am I correct in assuming that only also relates to a governance officer position has not been fulfilled yet, as well as the GM for 4 months was vacant?
So Justin's not in the room, but John will answer that one. Thanks, Councillor.
Yep, so through you, Mr. Mayor. Yep, hi, Councillor. It's John Harmy speaking. You're correct in what you've stated there. So the governance officer not being filled for the full financial year to date, and then the general manager's position being not filled for that four-month period is the vast majority of that unspent, yes.
Thank you. Second question, on page 176, we have fleet vehicle under expenditure of $106,582. I'm assuming, are we having a lot of trade-ins in the next 3 months by the end of the financial year?
So again, through you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of comments on that, Councillor, is that probably two main reasons. We had one vehicle that was due for replacement that's undertaken a significant maintenance issue, so we will be retaining that and deferring the replacement of that for 6 months. That's one of them. We also had another vehicle that was written off during the period, and we had an insurance payout relating to that that's also come into that. So we do have replacements still due between now and June. Bearing in mind that one that we have deferred, which are due to occur.
So how many vehicles does that actually equate to for that amount?
I don't have the dollar values and the vehicle numbers on hand. However, it's about five vehicles due for the year, of which one won't be replaced, and I think we have two that we're holding at the minute that will be replaced, and one that we're undecided on at the moment.
Thank you.
Councillor, through Mr. Mayor, the General Manager's considering the replacement options for one of those vehicles. So I guess as a management group, we'll decide what the best avenue is for that.
And through you, Mr. Mayor. It's on my list of things to do is to do a review of our fleet and our operating arrangements, productivity, and the use of vehicles to make sure that we're optimising the fleet and running it as cost effectively as we can, both in terms of fuel and logistics and maximising the life of the asset, but also in terms of how staff utilise pooled vehicles and commuting arrangements, etc.
Is it true, Jan, that the works manager is looking at a Dodge Ram as his next work vehicle? Oh, is it the room?
I can answer that one.
Okay.
That is true.
Oh. Sorry. That was the mayor being silly, and it is not actually correct for those that will listen to this at a later date. Okay. Any other discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion as it stands. Oh, sorry, Councillor Sinfield, I can't see you, so any questions, Councillor?
No, no contribution, I'll say yes.
Okay, thank you. All those in favour, please say aye, or put your hand up, that's good. All those against, carried unanimously, thanks. Marilyn. Corporate Services 2, page 182. New policy.
Well,
no. Somebody said something, no? Recommended that the Council adopt policy 92, financial hardship assistance as follows. Somebody like to move that? Councillor King has left the building. Any councillors want to move this motion? I'll ask you again. Any councillors want to move the motion as it sits?
Councillor Kelly.
Oh, thank you, Councillor Kelly. Seconder, please, for this motion. Councillor Cameron. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion. Any discussion?
Not at this stage, thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
I don't have a great deal to say. Situation we're in is pretty hideous. It's affecting a lot of people very differently. And I wish there was a way we could solve everybody's problems, but we can't. So I hope that this goes away to help some people who need it the most.
Thank you, Councillor. Open up for discussion from other councillors. Councillor Bauer?
Can I just clarify that this is a hardship policy that will continue after COVID finishes?
Mr. Mayor, Ranger?
Yes, it will.
Thank you. In regards to page 187, again, just a clarification for me. So it states there that the delegation is to the GM, but and we have there though that the Director of Corporate Services will approve hardship under $2,500 and the GM will approve over $2,500. Isn't that then contrary to the Local Government Act where we can only delegate to the General Manager, not to the Director of Corporate Services?
So the delegation below General Manager is the General Manager's to delegate. So Council provide me with a delegation as the General Manager, and then it's my prerogative to delegate below my level as appropriate. And that's delegations of an operational level.
I understand that, but that is not how it reads. So if you look at page 187,
410.
Where it actually states that assessing applications for deferral arrangements must be decided by, for amounts less than $2,500, the Director of Corporate Services, for amounts above $2,500 or greater, the General Manager, and then it goes on to say that Council has delegated all decisions based on financial hardship to the General Manager. So to me, in a policy, that should be then just the General Manager, and then what you do after that is up to you.
Understand what you're saying, Councillor Bauer? Yeah. Right. Just by removing Director of Corporate Services, then the GM can delegate as this was put out to do to start off with, I guess. I can understand where you're coming from.
I'd suggest the wording should change to applications for deferral arrangements must be decided by the General Manager or as delegated by the General Manager.
4.10, yeah.
To the Director of Corporate Services.
4.10, isn't it?
Yeah, 4.10, really.
Go down a bit more.
4.10, let's go.
Yes.
So amend the wording, Marilyn, and the beginning of the applications for deferral arrangements must be decided by the General Manager.
With respect, I understand what you're saying, but that may not be the case here, because if you look at section 22, it actually says the council And I'd suggest if you look at the following pages where the template is, the legat version, they've actually addressed it in the manner that we have currently got it, worded slightly differently in terms of the Chief Financial Officer. But essentially they're saying this policy is the parameters around which we provide the delegation under Section 22. So with greatest respect, I think it is right as it is, because it's not. Section 22 comes in, like it's got three sections, and in terms of rates, etc., there are an extra layer to the delegation that we're providing to the general manager. So we're saying the level at which it should occur. It still happens, and it all happens via Section 22, and it's the general manager who ensures that that's complied with as per clause 6 further down. But I think it is actually worded correctly as is. As I say, if you look at page 188, you can see subclause or subsection 2 of the Local Government Act, delegation by council. It says a council in writing may delegate any of the following powers only to the general manager or a council committee, and only on the condition that the council has determined appropriate policies and procedures. So our policy and procedure as part of this overall policy is that the Director of Corporate Services can do it for an amount of less than 2.5. That's why I would view that the current wording is okay as is.
So where's our policy, sorry?
Policies, what's... Yep, so...
Sorry, I missed that.
Policies, what we're asking be approved, you know?
So I understand the policy, but where's the procedure that you're referring to, Councillor Sinfield? That states that?
I can't show you.
On the next page 188 of the agenda, okay, is a quote from, well, is this, it is the section, the relevant section of the Local Government Act, and it's about two-thirds of the way down. It's section 22. And subsection 1 isn't included. That's a general. Subsection 1 just gives a general discretion to the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
But subsection 1, from memory, starts off by saying, except insofar as subsection 2, you may delegate any of the following to the general manager. So subsection 2 is then saying, it puts an additional layer around delegation in terms of the things listed there, so A, B, A, and C. It gives a further, as I say, I can't describe it better than saying it's a further layer to the delegation that the general manager has. So it's not a carte blanche delegation such as subsection 1 is. It actually has some... it requires on a policy to exist for it to occur, which is the policy we're actually may well be approving today. And then for the fourth of the picture, subsection 3 of section 22, other things that must not be delegated to the general manager.
So I understand that, Councillor Sinfield, that it states that it must be the general manager. I just don't understand the rest of it. Because I understand delegations internally that the general manager has, but I just don't see why that would be in a policy that you'd actually have a direct delegation, essentially, in a policy.
Because it's basically saying if we're going to delegate this to the general manager, we must have a policy that covers off on it. So we're producing the policy and we're putting some teeth into what it applies to, what it doesn't apply to, et cetera, et cetera. So we get some additional descriptor, some additional teeth within the policy as to the extent of the delegation, how we want to have that delegation work. So in other words, if you took that out, what would happen is, if we simply had that word something along the lines of applications for deferral arrangements must be decided by the general manager. He could, if he wanted to, just simply based on the words in the policy, allow that delegation then to the Director of Corporate Services for $100,000. It could be whatever. Right? We would have put no stricture around it. So to put the stricture around it, you word it in the manner that it is. And as I say, that then conforms with subsection 2.
So,
General Manager, take some direction.
Our policy is based on Legat's model policy, and it addresses, I guess, the issues. I think it's a technical argument. I do subscribe to Councillor Sinfield's position that the policy as worded and modelled by the Legat wording does prescribe exactly what the delegation authority ought to be for Meander Valley Council. And I'm happy either way. But to me, having clarity in a policy around the, also lends weight to an applicant who's reading the policy to know that if it's under $2,500, then it'll be determined in a certain way, and if it's over, it'll be determined by the general manager role. So there are benefits in terms of any applicant reading this policy and seeking to understand what process is going to be applied. But it doesn't, in practice, it doesn't make that much difference to how we operate.
Councillor Bowerson, you raise this, you won't die in a ditch if we don't make any adjustments.
No. No, not at all. What I was confused about is the Legat policy is part of this policy. So now that you've explained that, I get it. But before, I thought it was just our policy as a standalone without the Legat one coming into it. So it didn't make sense to me.
Good. That makes sense to me now too. So that's good. Councillor Knott?
Yeah. It's just a question for clarification either to the general manager or Rodney with his views on it. Where does the point about or a council committee come into play? Or where might it come into play? In section 22, the second line.
We don't have one, so it's not, it doesn't apply. But some councils might actually, you know, large councils can set up council committees, which consist of councillors. And they're different to special committees of council, but we haven't got, as far as I know, a single one of those. And it would allow, in those circumstances, those people to be dealing with such matters. But as I say, in our case, we haven't got one that's relevant, and therefore it's not applicable.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Knott?
That could be with what I've heard or read about. A hardship committee at Hobart City Council, so that might cover that.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, yes or not. Good. Mm-hmm. Any other?
No, sorry to hold things, but there's a word, 4.7 on page 186. We've altered the Legat's model because we're not dealing with, I'm just trying to find it again. Their heading is remitting late payment penalties and interest. Well, we're only dealing with the late payment interest, not the penalty. So we've altered the wording of our clause 4.7, their clause 2.3.2. But you've got a word in there in the last, in the first paragraph it says, council may waive either the applicable interest accumulated for a specific period that relates to the period of financial hardship. Very minor thing. Can we get rid of the word either? Because we haven't got an either. We're just dealing with late payment interest. If that makes sense.
Yep.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, councillor, where's the either? Did you say sorry?
Here.
So on the first paragraph of page at 186. It starts off in 4.7, it says, for typical circumstances, the financial hardship. Rates must be paid by the due date. Councils may charge interest calculated daily for late payments. However, for confirmed cases of financial hardship, council may waive either the applicable interest accumulated for a specific period that relates to the period of financial hardship. There is no either.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, agree with Councillor Sinfield. If the mover and seconder are happy with the change, it can be removed.
Yes.
Councillor Kelly.
Well picked up, Councillor Sinfield.
And can I just add
General Ranger.
Just in that same 4.7, the first mention on the second line of councils, it should be council may charge interest.
Yep, council, not councils. So the mover, Councillor Kelly and Councillor Cameron, are happy with those changes?
Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Councillor Knott, question?
Yes.
Okay, right. Okay, any other discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Thank you. Against? Carried. I gather you're for it, Councillor Sinfield, before I said carried.
No, it's like a yes in, but it wasn't heard.
Thank you. Okay, over a few pages to Infrastructure 1, page 200. View of the budgets, recommended that Council approve following project budget changes. Anybody, somebody like to move that? You nearly got it, Councillor Temple, when you're scratching your head, but you didn't quite. Somebody like to move the motion? Come on. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Okay, any comments, Councillor Kelly?
No, nothing to add at this stage, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron?
Thanks, sorry.
Thank you. Any discussions, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. Okay, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Please say aye. Raise your hands. Thank you. Yeah. Councillor Sinfield? Yes?
Yeah.
Thank you. All moved. Confirmed. Done. Thanks, Dino. You can sit back away from the table now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cabinets 1, page 207. Somebody like to move that? Councillor King, seconder. Seconder. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Any discussion, Councillor King?
Once again, just thanking the staff for preparing all the supplementary documentation that goes along with the annual plan and all the work that goes into that. It's a lot of work for us to just figure it out, acknowledging the effort. Thank you.
Councillor King, Councillor Kelly?
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, discussion? I take that as a no. Councillor Sinfield?
Well, no, thank you.
Councillor Knott, you're...
Yes, yes.
Yep, okay. All those in favour, say aye.
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 Against? Carry. Thank you. Must be news. Do we have anything else? Closed session. Items closed session and meetings. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Council close the meeting to the public for to discuss the following items. So Councillor Sheriff, Councillor King. Do we now stop recording?
Yeah, goodbye. After that.
Yep. All those in favour? Against? I gather you're in favour of that, right, Councillor Sinfield?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have a question there.
We'll just wait for a minute while we...